I am tormented in this flame. Chapter 58. Quiet. Listen. We hear music. From where does the music come? Look, there. In our thoughts, we will enter a large house. Marble pillars support this palace. The walls of every room are decorated with expensive tapestry. All the furniture is equally elegant and elaborate. No cost or trouble has been spared to make everything pleasant. Many men servants and women servants walk actively back and forth. In one of these rooms stands a large table richly covered with the finest foods. The richest wine sparkles in crystal glasses. Dishes of the finest meat and other foods are served. Such splendor, such riches. Seated at the table is the master of all this wealth. He is clothed in purple and very fine linen. Every day is feasting in his home. Every day he eats and drinks excessively. Every day he lives in pomp and splendor. He knows nothing of misery and poverty. The cares of this life do not oppress him, for he has no cares. Whatever he desires, he can have, for he has plenty of money. He has many friends, as many as he wishes to have. Nothing, nothing is lacking in his carefree life. He is happy and prosperous. He has everything his heart desires. Does he think of death? No, he does not. He rather would not think of death. He would like everything to remain as it is. Neither does he think about God. He has no need of God. He can take care of himself. Thus was the life of this man of unusual wealth. But come, let us go, for we have seen everything. We will leave this magnificent palace and walk through the big gate to the outside. Suddenly we hear a soft moan. Oh, where does the moan come from? Oh, look and see, such a poor wretch, an afflicted beggar, is lying near the gate. This beggar has no splendid clothing. His body is covered only with some rags. Besides, he is suffering unbearable pain. He is completely covered with ugly, painful sores. He has very few friends. Now and then a few dogs come to him to lick his burning sores. This gives a little relief in his extreme distress. He sees the wealth and the luxury of the rich man. He also sees how the servants throw away the leftover food. He looks at these crumbs, this leftover food, with desire in his eyes, for his poor body is shrinking from hunger. We do not read in the Bible that these crumbs were given to him. In all probability, they were not. There is a vast difference between the rich man and the poor beggar. The rich man surely knows him. This beggar's name is Lazarus. Whenever the rich man goes to visit his friends, he always sees this beggar lying at the gate of his home. Probably this annoyed him, but undoubtedly he did not have the courage to chase him away. But he never allowed this wretched beggar into his dwelling. He never washed and dressed his painful sores. Neither did he let Lazarus even for one time eat of the delicious food at his table. Why, no, he will have nothing to do with the beggar. How selfish! Are you that way too? Do you have any concern for the poor in your midst? A day comes when Lazarus does not lie as usual at the gate. Why not? Lazarus, is dead. He is finally delivered from all his suffering. The rich man never again shall see him on this earth. He is rid of the beggar. We read nothing of his funeral. No doubt a few people buried him in a lonely place. He didn't have a big funeral, naturally not. Probably he had no relatives and very few friends. Neither did the rich man attend, which is easy to understand. This proud man was secretly glad he was rid of that nuisance. Poor Lazarus. Oh no, just the opposite. We read in the Bible, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What does this mean? It is very simple to explain. His soul went directly to heaven. Because Lazarus was a regenerated man, he was poor and afflicted upon the earth, but now he is rich and blessed in heaven. There he has no more pain, and there he sings to all eternity to the honor of God. Abraham is there, and Lazarus the poor beggar is there also. Solemnly and gravely, a great train of attendants leave the beautiful palace of the rich man. A few men walk in front and they reverently carry a coffin. Numerous relatives, friends, and acquaintances follow. In the coffin lies the rich man. He is being carried out of his home for the last time because he is dead. He never thought much about death. But death came unexpectedly also for him. He had to leave everything, yes, everything behind. They are taking him to his final resting place, to the grave. No doubt it is a splendid grave, cut out of the rocks with a big stone in front of the opening. We can notice they are carrying a prominent person to the grave. They show him their last respects. But let us also read what is written concerning him in God's word. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. How dreadful! The time of grace is past for him. His gay and unconcerned life is past, forever. He now lies in pain, in unbearable pain, in eternal pain. Such a difference between the past and now. It is exactly opposite from what it had been. In this place of torment, he lifts his eyes, and a shock goes through him. For there in the distance, he sees Abraham, and in the bosom of Abraham is Lazarus, the poor, the despised, and by him neglected Lazarus. With a loud voice he cries. What does he cry? You can read it in the Bible. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. No, he does not ask if Lazarus can bring him a glass of water, but his request is if Lazarus would only dip the tip of his finger in water and put this over his lips, for they are dry and burning from the pain. Oh, if those dry and split lips were moistened only once, that would feel so good. He is longing for it. Won't it be terrible in hell? We must give this our most serious thought. This rich man longed for only one drop of water. He still would like to use Lazarus for a servant. Oh, he was so used to being served. And is his request granted? No. Abraham answers, you had your good things. While you were alive, you never knew of anything but prosperity and abundance. On the other hand, Lazarus, while upon the earth, received nothing but evil. Pain and grief, misery and poverty were his portion. Lazarus is now comforted. The pain and affliction are now past for him, but you are tormented. Do you hear? One drop of water is refused. Isn't it cruel? Isn't it unmerciful? No, children, that judgment is just. During his entire life, he despised the glory of heaven. He never had any desire to inquire after it. His time of grace is past. He never will receive grace. Besides, Lazarus cannot come because Abraham continues, between us and you, there is a great gulf. Lazarus cannot come to you, and you cannot come here, for this gulf separates us. This gulf separates us forever. Immediately the rich man asked, then send Lazarus to the earth, for I still have 5 brothers. Oh, let Lazarus warn them of this dreadful place, so they may turn from their evil way and will not have to come here where I am, because here it is unbearable. This request is also refused. That is not necessary, Abraham answers, because they are being warned. They have the books of Moses and the prophets. By these prophecies, they are clearly and repeatedly warned. Oh no, persists the rich man. No, Father Abraham. If someone would rise from the dead and warn them, they would listen. They would repent. But Abraham's answer sounds again. If they will not listen to the warnings of Moses and the prophets, they will not listen to Lazarus either, even though he arose from the dead. If they reject the word of God, they also will reject the preaching of Lazarus. Such a strange story, isn't it? But you must listen. This is no story. This is a parable spoken by the Lord Jesus when he walked in Perea. This is a parable, because in reality, the reprobates in hell cannot see God's people in heaven, and neither can they speak with one another. This parable, this example, is full of warnings also for us. From this, we can learn how terrible it will be in hell. In hell, we will not receive one drop of cold water to quench our burning thirst. There is nothing else but eternal, unbearable pain in hell. Boys and girls, believe this. I do not want to frighten you, but this is a reality. When you have pain here, your mother will do everything possible to relieve your pain. She nurses you with love and endless patience. But that will not happen in the place of damnation. There you will suffer forever. There your mother will not help you. There you must bear the wrath of God forever. And you are warned. God's word warns you. God's servants and ministers warn you. You are warned in catechism and in the Sunday school. Isn't this sufficient? Do you still want more? You will not receive more. Don't you concern yourself about it. The time will come when you will open your eyes in hell, but it will be too late. Oh, bend your knees and ask God to deliver you from that terrible state of death. Ask if he will make you alive through his word and spirit. It is necessary. It is indispensable. Otherwise, I hardly dare say it, otherwise, you shall be forever damned.